God places victory in your reach, not in your hand.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why overcoming isn't always as easy as we'd like it to be.
He puts it within your reach because he needs to see you exercise faith to get it in your hand.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. In the classic Wizard of Oz, Dorothy discovers she'd already been given everything she needed to solve her problems. Dr. Evans thinks it's about time Christians learn the same thing. Let's join him as he explains what it takes to turn God's provision into action.
In 1959, the clarion call for what would become the civil rights movement in song was "We Shall Overcome." It was a song of protest. Because of segregation and Jim Crow, marchers marched, people protested against injustice, and as arms were locked and the movement expanded, you would always hear the song being sung, "We Shall Overcome." In that case, it was overcoming unrighteous racial injustice. Of course, that song was picked up by many different groups who were protesting different things. And it became a staple of overcoming something that was wrong that needed to be made right. It was a song of protest. There is a need today to protest. But the protest that I am speaking of as we move along is the protest where the evil one is holding us hostage, where we're living with spiritual handcuffs on or chains around our lives. Some of it is due to our sins. Others of it is due to our circumstances. All we know is we have been overcome. But I would like to shift the song a little bit from "We shall overcome" to "We have overcome." Because if you will look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, we read, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes." In verse 11, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, he who overcomes." In verse 17, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes." In chapter 2, verse 26, "He who overcomes." In chapter 3, verse 5, "He who overcomes." In chapter 3, verse 12, "He who overcomes." So wait a minute. 1 John 5 says, "You have overcome." But the same author, John, when he writes the book of Revelation, says, "He who overcomes." So on one hand, I have overcome. On the other hand, I need to overcome. So how do I put this together, and what does it mean? John is writing to the seven churches of Asia Minor, as you'll see in a moment. Seven is the number of completion. So this is a message to all churches for all time. And he's talking to the whole congregation. He says, "I want you to tell this to the whole congregation." But in each one of those scriptures I read you, he said, "He who overcomes." Meaning, it's possible to be in the church and in the congregation and not be one of the overcomers. Because he says, "He who." So he talks to everybody, and then he comes down to the individual and says, "Let me talk to you. He who." So forget the folk around you as we walk through this, because it's whether you decide to overcome, because your neighbor can't overcome for you. But he tells the whole church, everybody who has come to Christ has overcome. The Greek word overcome, nikeo, is a word that means to prevail, to win one's cause, or to be victorious in difficult circumstances. So it has to do with being victorious in the midst of, or over, or in, or through whatever the circumstances are that are illegitimately holding you hostage. So right now, if you have something that should not be holding you hostage, but that is holding you hostage, then you need to be an overcomer, because that's what the word means. But why do you tell me, John, that I have overcome? And then, John, you come back in Revelation and tell me, well, you need to overcome. We all know it's possible to be married and not happy. In other words, you can have a legal status that's not equal to your present experience. The paper may declare you to be something, but your experience says something else. When John says you have overcome, he's dealing with your legal status. Christ has made every believer an overcomer legally, but what you have legally does not mean that's what you're experiencing personally. If you're unhappy and married, that doesn't make you unmarried. It makes you miserably married. If you are defeated and Christian, that doesn't make you unchristian. That makes you a defeated Christian. So what he's trying to tell you and us is that the goal is to make our legal status our experiential reality. So that's why the word is you have overcome spiritually, legally, because you come to Christ, but you may not yet have overcome in terms of it working out in your life, in terms of you experiencing it. In fact, the only reason you need to overcome is there's something to overcome. To overcome means to overrule a sin or a set of circumstances that are illegitimate. It is to overrule them. Like the Supreme Court overruling a lower court, or the referees overruling a call on the court or on the field. It is an overruling. It is to say to that other thing, your decision is not final. So I want to say to you as we move forward, whatever is illegitimate in your life, sin and or circumstances, God wants you to overrule and not have it overruling you, particularly on an ongoing basis. And therefore, God wants you to experience overcoming. One of the reasons why God allows some things that he does not approve is to give you the experience of being an overcomer. Okay, now that may throw you a little bit. God does not sin. God does not endorse sin. But God allows things throughout Scripture that he does not approve of in order to demonstrate his greater glory. Now, if we intentionally do things, that will bring consequences, and those consequences can be daunting. But at the very same time, God wants us to experience this principle. If it's pouring down, raining outside, I mean, it's raining cats and dogs, and you own an umbrella, you are an overcomer because you have in your hand what you need to keep it from raining on you. But if you walk around using your umbrella as a cane, strolling, you are an overcomer, but you're getting wet because you are not experiencing overcoming without the umbrella open. So it's not that you're not an overcomer, it's that you're not experiencing overcoming, because what you have to overcome it, you're not using as it was meant to be used. So you are being defeated even though you have it. All believers have salvation, making you technically and legally an overcomer, but your spiritual umbrella may be closed, so you're not overcoming. So the goal is to get us to open up our umbrellas so the devil stops raining on us. The Bible makes it clear. If you are going to be an overcomer, a prevailer, that the link has to be made between your state and your standing, between your position and your practice, between what's legal and what you experience literal. It's the difference between the Emancipation Proclamation and Juneteenth. There was a year and a half gap before the folks in Texas found out they were free from the Emancipation Proclamation. So even though they were legally free, they weren't literally free, because the information was not gathered and gained. So Juneteenth is celebrated as a reminder of what was legal that became literal. The tragedy of Juneteenth is that many folks still stayed slaves after they found out they were free, because they had been there so long they weren't going to take a chance on exercising their freedom. Because, you know, you can get used to being a slave to sin, circumstances, to people, to problems. Even though you're in church talking about free at last, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You got the right quote, it's just not your experience.
But you can experience that freedom and turn those quotes into your life's reality. Dr. Evans will come back to explain how in just a moment. First, though, today's lesson kicks off Tony's hard-hitting series, The Jesus Challenge. And I want to tell you about a great set of resources we put together as a way to follow up on what we'll be learning over the next couple of weeks. It includes all 8 full-length audio messages in this collection to study in depth, both on CDs and instantly downloadable MP3s. And they're yours as our thank you gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station by making a contribution. Along with it, we'll include 2 special bonuses, the Jesus Challenge Bible Study Guide and a DVD introduction by Tony for each of the sessions it contains. The entire package is yours with our thanks for your contribution, but this special offer is only available for a limited time, so don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org today to make the arrangements, or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are available day and night to help with your request. That's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back right after this.
Bible study is like gold mining. The deeper you dig, the more treasure you'll unearth. If you're ready to tap into the mother lode, explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere through the growing list of online courses waiting for you now in the Tony Evans Training Center. Take your time with each online module that'll take you verse by verse through the text, with exclusive in-depth content from Dr. Evans, probing discussion questions, access to full-length messages, and an online discussion forum where you can ask specific questions and get detailed answers. The focus is on understanding and application, equipping you to put God's Word to work in the real world. Explore our growing list of courses covering many of the most important concepts in Christianity. The Tony Evans Training Center, a world of discovery, anytime, anywhere.
To understand the key to being an overcomer, you have to, watch this, begin to look at Jesus differently. He begins in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, verse 1, saying the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to disclose Jesus to you. He takes this look at Jesus in verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it shall be. Amen. Now watch this. Jesus is talking in verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, who was, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. He tells John in verse 11, write a book. John then says in verse 12, I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, Jesus speaking to him. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to his feet, girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he had seven stars. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. If you and I are going to be overcomers in practice, not in principle, you're going to have to see the Jesus that John saw. This is Jesus on fire. He says, like the burning of a furnace. He says when he spoke, it was like the rushing of many waters, like oceans and seas just thundering. And he says, when I saw this Jesus, it knocked a brother off his feet. I fell down like a dead man walking. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says that when Jesus died, he disarmed the rulers of this present age. That's why the scripture says in Romans 8:37, you are more than conquerors in him who loved us and gave himself for us. That's why John 16:33 says, in me you're going to have peace because I have already overcome the world. He speaks in these superlatives because it is your connecting with this risen Christ. Romans 5:10, after he says, God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 8, he comes to verse 10 and he says, and we are saved or delivered by his life. So the overcoming comes with this life. If you have, how many of you have AAA? You have AAA. AAA is there when you are stalled. Yeah. Flat tire, out of gas, motor doesn't run. Something is wrong and you're stuck. You call AAA and AAA sends out a vehicle bigger than your problem. One day I was stuck on the side of the road from my engine going out. This thing lifted my car, put it on its bed. I sat in the front seat while it drove me back to Dallas, because what they sent out was big enough to handle what was stalling me. If you have the wrong kind of Jesus, if you're looking at Jesus the wrong way, you're not looking at the one big enough to dispense what is needed to move you out of your stalled situation. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have AAA, you got triple G, God, God, and God. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You've got triple G. And what he wants you to know is when you begin to look at him differently and relate to him as the risen Christ who is ascended, who's now functioning with fire in his eyes, not soft skin, but hair like wool and a voice like thunder. That's who you're dealing with, and that's who you must relate to. You say, but my problem is so big and it's been there so long. My problem is so big, you don't know how long I've been dealing with this addiction. You don't know how long I've been dealing with this circumstance. You don't know how long my problem is so big. Let me explain something. Anybody who can lift 700 pounds can lift 200 pounds. Okay? You show me a weightlifter who can lift 700 pounds. If you bring them a 200-pound weight, that's not going to be a problem because they can lift 700. On the cross, Jesus Christ lifted the sins of the whole world for all men, for all time, on Calvary. So what did you tell me the size of your problem was? You're dealing with somebody who handled the world and its sin and its accompanying circumstances. So it may be bad, but it ain't that bad. But if you're connecting it to the wrong Jesus, that is a misconception of the biblical risen Jesus, then you're applying it to somebody that's too weak to handle it. And so your view, my view of Jesus has got to be adjusted if we're going to experience the victory of this exalted Christ that John is talking about before he ever gets there. He wants you to know that Jesus has veto power over that which has to be overcome that's illegitimate. Okay, so that raises a question. Where can I find his power? I want some of that. I don't want to be overcome anymore. Look at chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 11. And they overcame him. Here's our word. Because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. At one verse will shift how you relate to Jesus. When you shift how you relate to Jesus, he shifts how he relates to you. Because now you're relating to him as he is, not as you want him to be. Because a lot of folk come to church worshiping a Jesus as they want him to be, not as he declares himself to be. And isn't it terrible when somebody talking for you, trying to describe you to you, when you know you? So Jesus says, let me explain this to you. It says they overcame him, referring to Satan in that context. They overruled him. They prevailed against him when three things were in place. These three things can be summed up in one word: their identification with Christ. Now follow me closely here. When they properly identified with Christ, they prevailed. God places victory in your reach, not in your hand. Big difference. Overcoming is in your reach. You can get it, but it's not in your hand. See, what a lot of folk come to church and they want God to drop victory in their hand. He puts it within your reach because he needs to see you exercise faith to get it in your hand. So you can talk about it all day. You can pray about it all day. You can come to church all day. But if you do not grab what has been provided, you don't get what you could have.
Dr. Tony Evans on taking action to achieve victory. If you'd like to get the complete full-length version of today's message, it's available as a part of Tony's exciting series, The Jesus Challenge. As I mentioned earlier, we're offering all 8 messages in this collection on both CDs and digital downloads, plus the Bible study guide and resource DVD that go with them as our thank you gift when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution. Contact us at tonyevans.org to get the details and make the arrangements. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. I'll repeat that for you after this important thought from Dr. Evans.
One of the great things all of us need in life is hope. Hope is expectation about the future, that things will be better where I'm going than where I am or where I've come from. And the greatest hope that's given to us by God is the hope of eternal life. That when this life is over, we immediately enter into God's presence and don't have to worry about the scourge called death. So if you want to bypass death, you can do that because there's the hope of the gospel, the good news that anyone who comes to Christ for salvation, recognizing their sinfulness and their need for forgiveness, will be given that salvation when they come to Jesus for it.
If you want more help in getting your new life with Christ started, just visit tonyevans.org and click on the link that says Jesus. Tony has a quick video that explains it all, and you'll find some free follow-up resources there as well. Again, that's tonyevans.org. And one more time, you can reach our resource center at 1-800-800-3222. It may seem like if you focus on a problem, you're more likely to find a solution. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain why sometimes your focus is the problem. I hope you'll join us as we learn more about how the right perspective empowers us to overcome challenges. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.